Bet on Bears fans, Chicago Bears podcast coming your way. Pat the Designer, John Yurkovich in the building. Good kid back from a little of a bye week vacation
R&R, time. A little R&R weekend in Marco Island, Florida.
Yeah.
I got to be careful. I am looking tan, but I'm looking a little ballsy there. I got to be
a little. Yeah, you don't want to show it all to him there, Yurk.
Tuck him back.
Well, you know,
let the boys drop a little bit. Good times, Pat.
We have been known to
Pat the entertainer.
This is one thing
Pat
we do.
The mesmerizer.
We got to talk about this on the pod. I'm Pat the whatever you want me to be now.
Any type of anything ending in ER, I think, could be whatever we want. Pat the compiler. Compiler of stats, statistics, information, all types of stuff.
I like that.
I don't think there's nothing wrong with it. I think it just describes what your activity happens to be that day,
that moment.
That sort of thing,
Pat the Impaler was a good one.
I love Pat the Impaler. Yeah. Yes, very. That was like in your when the Ottoman Empire was happening, Empire. Yeah, there is some impaling that needs to happen. The Vaseline is in the back there, my friend. Are you a little ashy?
I use the Vaseline.
I also use
it for a little ash.
I've gone with a little bit. My legs are ashy because of the cold weather, wearing shorts today on a 39 degree day.
You are doing shorts.
Not many people can get away with it, but I'm feeling fresh and froish. And I went with the Lubriderm today.
Yeah.
Nice layer of Lubriderm to kind of get the ash out there. And when I was down to Marco Island, the mosquitoes got me. And I've been itching for 3-4 days now, and I'm hoping that itch stops. You know what I'm
talking about, on the legs, right?
Yeah,
you're not
legs.
Talking about something
not
else.
The crotch will reach you by any stretch of the imagination. No, I'm talking about on the legs, and I'm specifically talking about mosquito bites.
Yeah.
But what I hope I never stop itching for is itching for the Chicago Bears to be successful. I got a hankering.
Good kid.
I got a hankering. I got an itch that needs to be scratched, and that's more Chicago Bears success, more victories.
Yeah.
If they can find a way to win 4 of the last 5, how many are left? 5?
5 games left.
4 of the last 5, they get the 8 victories. So, dare I say it's a successful season? Dare I say good things are happening? Dare I say we won't need a quarterback? Dare I say all of this?
You're going all in. I wanted to talk about that.
If they win 4 of 5.
Yeah.
If they win 4 of 5. If they show signs. If. I don't think it's too late.
Yeah.
I don't think you can bury this team yet. Otherwise Doug Peterson would have been fired last year because they were terrible for an extended period of time.
Yes.
And they went on a win streak late.
Yes.
And that's all you got to do is show signs of improvement, show signs of a competitive football team, show signs of a defense that went from pitiful garbage into what? To being pretty damn good. They're going to be a top 10 defense at the end of this year.
If somebody
doesn't see that improvement, then you're putting your head in the sand and you just want a new coach for the sake of wanting new coaches. Because why? Because people don't like old rustic things sometimes.
Right.
What they like is the new thing. Oh, look, it's a brand new little toy. I'm going to play with it. I'm going to sit there. I'm going to rub it. It's a puppy dog. Yeah. Then the puppy dog turns 3, and then you don't give a rat's ass about the dog no more. But if you see a new puppy, all of a sudden you fall in love with it. No, not for me.
Yeah.
If I see signs of improvement and if I see a team coming together and gelling, that's important for me. So I need that. That's what I'm looking for. And we'll see if the Bears can do it.
I talked about this yesterday, and I love that you come out guns blazing. First off, shout out to EO giving you a little bit of ball coverage there with the ESPN Chicago.
Appreciate that.
Really good job there. Really good job, Duncan.
We're swirling to Duncan today.
We're looking for that sponsorship
sugar all over the place. We're ready.
Because
we don't do this podcast without a little bit of Duncan. Hey, you know that.
Let's
go vertical with that, Duncan. Duncan, and then we'll go horizontal. Duncan, yeah. In circle.
It's not your first cup, is it?
Big circles. It's like you're exercising. Big circles. It's not your first cup today.
And
then we're going to go little circles. Little baby circle with the Duncan. Yeah.
What's happening right now?
What is happening? I don't know.
I'm having fun. He's having a great time. No, I talked about this yesterday with Courtney, right? And I'd want to ask
Courtney
you
Cronin.
This. Courtney Cronin.
Bears beat reporter.
Yes, 100%.
Lovely. She does a wonderful job. I love her.
Do you love
television? Though. She does a really good job there too.
Do you love Matt Eberflus, the DC, as much as you love Matt Eberflus, the head coach?
No, because he
wants to be a CEO. That's what he said when he showed up here. I would assume that means he's going to try and hire somebody to play call next year.
Well, as well he should. Yeah, I don't mind him as the head coach. If he can keep this group together, if he can work hand in hand with Ryan Poles.
Yeah.
I mean, if that's going, I mean, you could see it and they could feel it in that building. They could feel it. If things are starting to turn, if things are starting to go in the right direction, they're the ones that know. They're the ones that feel it. You may not see it out here. We only see the results.
Right.
You know, and it's a results-oriented business. So if like I said, they win the last four or five, they turned it around after starting 0-4 this year. It means they've gone 8-5 in the final 13. It's hard to deny what you have and what you don't have. So
are we then just doing the – to me then, right, though, that becomes the Matt Nagy experiment of if the defense doesn't work next year, now we're sitting there having the conversation about, Flus, why don't you take back over the defense? Why are you being the CEO? Why, you know what I mean? Like, no. I love Matt Eberflus, the DC. I think he's done a great job.
I can't worry about next year until next year gets here. I can't worry about next year until I see the improvements that are made in the offseason with the personnel.
Right.
You let Eddie Jackson go. You got a question on whether you're going to sign Jalen Johnson or not, depending upon how much it costs. I like the young bodies that you've got back there. You know, so that's all positive. Your linebackers you've invested and you paid for. Now we're going to see the improvement that we're going to get out of my guy Gervin.
Yeah.
Dexter and Pickens, who I think Pickens a player too.
I like Pickens.
I think Pickens been ahead of Dexter, but I think Dexter is starting to develop.
He's catching up.
And Dexter's starting to bring it on, which is a good thing. I think Sweat has kind of given him that veteran guy that needed to be there, that's got a little bit of pedigree, that's got that world-class speed coming off the corner for a big defensive end like that. I think it's helped Yannick Ngakoue. I don't think Ngakoue is back here. I think that's the improvement that you get next year. And then he becomes the guy that he's always been, a mercenary.
Right.
He's a mercenary. He comes in. He's like Donkey Kong Sue, my guy. Sue is a guy that's going to he's going to be a mercenary the rest of his career. He's going to go in where he fits, where somebody needs a dominant defensive tackle to come in for a year. Before they draft a younger, inexpensive model of what could be I can't say his first name, but Sue.
Ndamukong
Suh. Yeah, Ndamukong.
Is he still in the league this year?
Who knows?
He's still in the league
this year? But he's dominant. I thought he was out there somewhere.
Didn't he finish out in Tampa and win the ring and rode off into the sunset?
I don't know. You don't make those NFL checks in the real world.
Yeah.
Those NFL checks are NFL checks for a reason. Yeah. So yeah,
he's a good guy for the next couple of years. When you look at a team, and it's like y'all need somebody for half a season. Right. I got you.
And then you know your improvement. You need one pass rusher coming off the corner.
Yes,
one stud. You need the development of the guys on the inside. Your linebackers are going to be your linebackers. You're not concerned about that. And then you need a stud receiver. You need stud receiver. And I'm telling you, they win 8 games. And Justin Fields starts to be closer to Lamar Jackson. You can find ways to win with Justin Fields as your quarterback. You don't have to believe it here. I've seen some great throws. I've seen some horrific throws. Yeah. I look around the league, and guess what I see every weekend? I see great throws, and I see horrific throws. I see terrible quarterbacking. I see all types of stuff. They're individual plays that are based on their own stuff. Do I think Justin Fields is a complete finished product? No.
Yeah.
Do I think he's heading in the right direction? I say yes. And guess what? So what? You don't have a quarterback for 15 years. But if I can have a solid quarterback for 8 to 10 years, fine. I'm going to take myself a solid quarterback for 8 to 10 years and see what the hell I can get.
The biggest thing for me with that, too, is that people are so focused on, like when Jordan Love goes off, he's playing well, he's throwing touchdowns. All that anybody saw, Yerk, was Jordan Love. Nobody saw the center play that actually looked really good in that game. Nobody saw how the offensive line was attacking guys and absolutely giving Jordan Love a ton of time. Nobody saw how the running game was working. Nobody saw the consistency at play calling on the offensive end from Matt LaFleur. All they saw was, my God, Jordan Love's going to be Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers. Yeah. It takes so much to get those guys, and the Packers – as much as it sucks to say, have a formula where we're not going to take a wide receiver in the first round. We're going to take an offensive lineman because we know we need those guys.
And then they'll hit on Bakhtiari in the fourth round.
Yeah.
And they'll hit on another guy in the sixth round. And then they'll bring Corey Linsley in when he was there and take him as a free agent, undrafted guy. And they'll find a way to hit on those guys. And that's sometimes just the way it works.
Yeah.
Now, I was on this show at the beginning of the year with Jordan Love. I was on this show. And I tried to tell people to be patient.
Yeah.
I tried to tell people to look at Brett Favre's first year in Green Bay. Take a look at it. Look at his second year in Green Bay. What did you see? Take a look at Aaron Rodgers in his first year as a starter in Green Bay. So you ask people to be patient, You got a 4.5 month season. This is a long year.
Yeah.
Things happen over the course of 4.5 months. Some teams get better. Other teams get injured. Other teams get worse. Okay. So relax. Let things develop. And that's what I asked up in Green Bay. Don't be so quick to judge Jordan Love. Everybody jumping for joy. They don't have it. They don't have it. Relax.
Yeah.
You know, maybe he's not going to be a Hall of Fame quarterback, but maybe he could sit there and tuck himself underneath there. That's what they're hoping in Green Bay. They've got a ton of cap money next year, a ton of cap money. I don't know if you've seen how much draft equity they have. They've got a substantial amount of draft equity.
Yeah.
So rather than being so quick to judge and to bury and to call somebody dead and it's not going to happen, sit back, relax, and watch it develop over the course of time. You don't have to be the first one to declare somebody, nah, he's not a player. No, you don't.
That is
be patient and take a look and watch guys develop.
That's the culture we're into, right? Like the culture now is I have to be first. I have to be the loudest. I've seen enough.
Only if you participate in the buffoonery.
Yeah.
And the silliness. Only if you're willing to participate in it. You don't need it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'll go back and tell you, like, of some of the things that have been out there. Does anybody remember who the first guy to say it was? No. Why? Because nobody cares.
Dan Orlovsky being the first to say Justin could be an MVP.
Justin who?
Remember preseason?
Well,
said Justin Fields could be an MVP or he might be a bust. Wide range there, Dan. Yeah,
exactly. He's either going to be the greatest in the world or he's going to be terrible.
Yeah.
Thank you for that analysis.
Very wide range there by Dan.
We appreciate that. Yeah. It's real solid stuff.
We'd love to have you. I hope we're paying
a lot for that. I mean, geez.
It's this Bears team now. Where you're at, and I think you've come out very strong on this Bears team, is that you're bringing back the staff. Of course, if they get to eight victories, you're picking up Justin Fields as option.
Fifth-year option, yes. That gives me a couple more years to take a look. Another year, maybe with a little bit better wide receiver. I don't know, committed to Cole Kmet. It's just such that still chaps my ass a little bit. But either way.
Helps if you're throwing the ball, though.
Yeah.
I don't think he has any drop passes on the season this year.
Like I said, you can't juke a tree stump in a 10-acre.
Oh, no. He's got to go through.
He is a straight line.
Let me ask you this, Yurk. Doesn't it seem like sometimes where there is an opening, he looks for the guy? Like, I've seen the ball get to Cole, and there's grass, and he's like, I need to make contact with him, though.
I don't know. I think he'd prefer to avoid it. I just think he can't because he doesn't have the speed to get away from
it. Right.
So, at some point, he realizes contact is coming.
Yeah.
So he wants to initiate. I'll tell you this, though. He doesn't fight the football as much as he used to.
He's definitely better
catching. That guy used to get the football, get possession of it, and then all of a sudden, it was like it was in a shaker machine. The ball started bouncing all over the place. What are you doing?
Yeah.
Hold on to the football.
Yeah.
Nobody touched him. He'd be fumbling the ball himself. So I think he's gotten a lot better in that regard. Yeah, another receiver would help this team. I myself am going for a draft out. Sorry.
Yeah.
I'm going I need to acquire picks.
Yeah.
I don't think you have to go that far. If somebody wants to come up to that number one spot, claim the quarterback that they like, you make it available to them, and then you move, and then if you got to move again, and you know, either that or you pick that guy, they draft your guy next. You do a little trade where Marvin Harrison ends up with the Chicago Bears. But you need to acquire more draft capital to make this team better and to replace players that are going to leave. I think you just need to acquire more draft capital. That's me. He did it last year.
Yeah.
He's the opposite of the Ryan Pace. Opposite of Ryan Pace.
He's stockpiling.
Ryan Pace would like see a guy he'd want, and he'd unnecessarily vault the whole world to go get there.
Right, so. He bid against himself, right? Like that's what San Francisco was, right? San Francisco comes in, he's like, listen, I'll give you a first round pick. You know what?
Don't remind me.
Two. How about two? No, let's keep going up. Yeah, at least Ryan Pace was
And in his own mind, he was pretending like there were things happening. Yeah. Oh, my. They've got to be getting phone calls.
The greatest thing
he'd hear bells in his own mind.
The greatest thing of all is just knowing that John Fox literally got the word that Deshaun Watson was the Michael Jordan of quarterbacks and you have to take him. And Ryan Pace goes on a hoodied mission to North Carolina to find the next great quarterback for the Chicago Bears.
John Fox's people were wrong, too, because the guy in the draft was Patrick Mahomes. That was the guy in that draft.
Yeah, he's the one that's had the most success.
Mahomes was the guy in that draft.
He's the one that's had the most success.
Whatever you say. And
Deshaun Watson was pretty good in a bad situation.
Deshaun Watson got talent, but he's caused himself some problems.
He does do that.
He caused himself some problems. Nobody caused his problems for him.
Yeah.
He caused his own problems.
He does do that.
Unfortunately for him, he's making a ton of money, and he's in Cleveland. So good for him.
In the skybox, too.
Where am I at with who?
Where are you at right now with the front office situation. We heard that Kevin Warren might want more of a role. I don't know where that's coming from. But basically now Ryan Poles is perceived to be possibly on the hot seat because he's not Kevin Warren's guy.
I don't believe that.
When I look at Ryan Poles, he's giving you three starters in two drafts.
I don't believe that that Poles is on the hot seat. Okay. I think Kevin Warren and Ryan Poles are going to work hand in hand.
Yeah.
Kevin Warren's got to wear the hats. He's got to be in charge of the construction. He's got to be in charge of the ball team. He's got to let people know, hey, this is the way it works. I'm in charge. You guys all answer to me.
Yeah.
I've got nobody. I got no problem with anybody wanting to establish their authority within the organization to let them know this is where it goes. The buck stops here. If we fail, it's on me. I'm going to trust my people to do their jobs and do their work. So I think there's just a reclarification of exactly what's happening and what's going on. I think it's a natural tendency for your president to want to be able to come in and say, fellas, y'all answer to me, and that's the way it's going to be. I don't think Kevin Warren's going to be in there making picks.
Yeah.
I think that's Ryan Poles' job.
That's kind of the conversation, how it
changes.
Yeah.
I don't think that changes. He's not Jerry Jones coming in to say, hey, I'm the team president and I'm going to do this. No, I don't buy that at all. So I think he's going to trust in his people. Like I said, life's easier when you get to eight. It's not easy when you get stuck at six.
Right.
Life becomes tough. 6-11 is not fun. 8-9, looking back at three wins when you tried to lose, coming back now to eight wins, you see market improvement. You see improvement over the course of the season. I think then it becomes a lot more palatable to be able to bring people back and be able to trust in people. And all the quarterbacks that are going to be out there, say there's 6-7 quarterbacks out there. Do I think one of those 6-7 is going to be successful next year?
Yeah.
Sure I do. Yeah. Which one? Which one? Yeah, which one?
Listen,
okay?
Listen.
If I can get out of this draft with a left tackle with Marvin Harrison Jr., that's what the hell I want to do. This guy right here, me.
Yeah.
Johnny Hansen.
Yeah.
Wants Marvin Harrison Jr. and a left tackle.
So you still need to see more out of Braxton Jones. You haven't seen enough out of Braxton to say that there's not a better talent.
I haven't seen enough out of him. And if I can get a stud there, get a little bit of draft capital for him. Do I think he could be a backup? He can step in? Sure.
Yeah.
I think he can do that, absolutely. But like I said, if I can get it, or I go.
You just think that they're still better.
I'll give you another scenario. What if I get Marvin Harrison Jr. and a pass rusher coming off the corner? Okay, now there
excited.
You go.
Don't
so
get me
there
excited.
You go.
Either way. No, either way. Listen.
So I'm not.
I look at Joe
Alt. In
I look at Joe Alt and go, I think he's going to be the Darnell Wright on the left side.
Right.
That's really how I feel. And I, it's not that.
I played against his pappy. His pappy.
Really?
John Alt.
Yeah, in
Kansas City. I played against his pappy. His pappy's a hell of a ball player.
Yeah.
So I don't begrudge anybody wanting to go get a left tackle. Like I said, left tackle, pass rush, and defensive end, wide receiver. Let's have a party.
Yeah.
I don't care how it plays out. Let's have a party.
Let's have a
but
party.
But when you trade down and acquire a second round choice, that's when I want to get my center.
Yeah.
And I don't want to get a – I want a 6'4" center, 315 pounds, that's got a little, you know, a little bit of a scoot in him.
Yeah.
Quickness.
Yeah.
You know, dare I ask for a 20 shuttle in the 4.5 range. That's what I want. 20 shuttle, change of direction, guy balance, maybe has a little bit of a wrestling background in his high school or early collegiate ranks. See? So I've got a specific guy that I want there, a guy that's going to play with balance. That's what I'm looking for. Now I come out of there with wide receiver, either a pass rusher or a left tackle, right? And a stud center. I've made some improvements.
You made some improvements?
I've made some improvements.
I'm not mad at it. Yeah. You care about the 40 time on that center? Because they make them all run.
20 shuttle time. Change of direction.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not asking them to run downfield and catch defensive backs. I'm asking him to be able to scoot in a 3-4 and to be hardy enough and big enough and play with enough leverage and balance to be able to make people, you know, bad things happen to people that are in front of them.
The interesting thing about Ryan Poles is he's really been able to draft offensive linemen well. You find Braxton in the fifth.
Yeah.
Of course, Darnell. To me, he was always the best right tackle in the draft. So sure. I thought that was a layup. But you never know when they get to the NFL level. He hasn't been able to sign, to me, the best offensive lineman here, right? We've got a Lucas Patrick here. We bring in Nate Davis. Well, Nate Davis is serviceable. Listen,
I think Nate Davis. I think he's a little more than serviceable. I just think that he's been hurt.
Yeah,
and he was out of training camp, and they refused to be honest and open with everybody. Yeah, they would have been honest and open with everybody. I don't think he'd had the speculation. But guess what? If you're not going to be honest and open, then you're going to have a problem.
Yeah.
And what you don't have to like it, but that's what you're going to have. So I think Nate Davis with a full camp, playing right guard next to Darnell Wright, next to your new center, next to Tevin Jenkins, next to Braxton Jones, it's fine.
Tevin, you got to sign.
I'm not too. Against him. Yeah. That's you sign Tevin. That's you what you sign do. Him.
Yeah, it's going to be a interesting last 5 weeks. I think there's one name to me that has the most pressure of anybody on them outside of Justin Fields. And that to me is Luke Getsy. Where are you at on Luke Getsy, even if Justin Fields performs well? Because I've seen a litany of inconsistencies out of his game.
This is my advice to Getsy. And I was a little bit disappointed last week when we went 14 passes, all screens, without one variation. I don't mind the fact that the way to avoid the blitz is going to be to throw that quick screen.
Yeah.
But once you condition them to the quick screen, why didn't we pop one sheet side, the variation where you go to block and you extend a guy downfield and try to hit him with the big home run? Why not? It doesn't make any sense that you wouldn't.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? It makes zero sense. It's like I run a toss left 27 times in a row without ever considering the thought of maybe running it the other way. Or even better, reversing off of that toss left after I've conditioned him the whole time. So my advice to him would simply be run a variation of the same play where you got an option to go deep.
Yeah.
Simple. Easy. Because you're conditioning them to come up. Once they see that formation, they're going to come up. Why not fake and pop them deep? I think that makes a lot of sense. And that's something, I don't know if he didn't want to learn or if he was just being stubborn, but he's got to be less stubborn. He's got to be more open to different things.
And here's the problem that I've seen is it seems like Getsy is a Matt Nagy type. He's tied to the play sheet. Well, the play sheet doesn't say that we have that on there. The play sheet doesn't say that we should go deep in this situation. And that, to me, is the biggest indictment of him because guess what? My fear coming into this Detroit game this week is now Detroit's seen everything you can do. They've seen everything you're going to throw at them. You had 2 weeks difference.
Yeah.
You're going to run the same stuff. I know he's going to run the same stuff, and they're going to be more prepared for it. That means the game plan's not going to work as well. What are you going to have to counter off of that?
You lost the game against Detroit that you are 94% supposed to win.
Yeah.
And you found a way to screw it up at the end of the half and at the end of the game. 21 points scored at the end, 7 at the end of the half and 14 scored at the end of the game.
Yep.
You screwed that up.
Yeah.
If this football team doesn't have its best effort on the lakefront on Sunday, you'd have to ask yourself, what the hell are they doing? Because I would be so upset going and playing a team that I knew I beat, and I beat the hell out of in Detroit, and we found a way to lose that game still. This one is, you got away once, you're not getting away this time. This time, we're going to snuff you out.
Yeah, but that makes sense, Yerk. If I know what they're going to run, you know what we're going to run, and I run something better, right?
There's no mystery.
There's no mystery.
You're going to put pressure on Jared Goff. You're going to hope that the field, even though it's Bermuda, it's a little bit wintry. It's going to be 20-mile-an-hour winds.
Yeah, this is true.
So you're going to have to be able to run
a lot of
the ball.
Monty.
So
of the two a lot
teams,
of Monty.
Out of the two teams that run the ball, I like the Bears better on the ground than I like Detroit on the ground. That's just me. Okay. I like it.
Okay.
Because,
yeah.
So it's the Bears run offense against Detroit's run defense advantage Bears.
Yes.
I got Detroit's run offense. They like to run the ball. They rush for a lot of yards, but it's going up against the number one rush defense in the league at Soldier Field.
Yeah.
With the noise.
Yeah.
With everything.
And the Bears did a great job on them until the last 4 minutes of prevent.
Yeah. Last 4 minutes of prevent. So that's what you got to avoid, that mistake. And that mistake is not Lou Getsy's fault. That mistake in that game
is the head coach.
Is the head coach's fault.
Yes.
So that's
and
why
I think that mindset is too prevalent. The Bears, to me, have a mindset, and I've said this a couple of times, of, we did enough. Yeah. We've done enough to win. Boys, let's pack it in. All right, we're good.
That's learning how to win.
And they've lost three games because of that.
Yeah. Well, they lost Denver.
They lost Denver because of that. They lost against Minnesota.
The Detroit game.
Because of that. Justin got hurt in the first Minnesota game. And he ended up beating the Detroit game, of course, right? But, like, we've seen too many games Or that is the case.
Last year's Detroit game.
Last year's Detroit game as well, right? Like, we've seen too many games where the mindset is, all right, boys, we've done enough. Let's just get out of here with the W. All right. No, it's okay. Keep your foot on their throats. Why are we afraid to, like, crush a team?
Right.
But what is this respect that we need to have? Well, we don't want to embarrass them. I feel. No, embarrass them.
Well, you're a team that hasn't embarrassed anybody in a long time. You might want to try it to see how it feels.
That'd be a good thing. It blows my mind that we can do that so often. And let's be real. It just so happened that the Commanders were a bad enough team that Sam Howell couldn't come back from it. But because the Commanders were coming back the same way that Denver did.
At least we beat the Commanders when they're at full-fledged.
Yeah.
And poor Chico won't have a job.
That's tough. Poor Chico.
Number 59, Bears.
Yeah, we'll see. Maybe he can come back here.
All right, we'll get out of here.
Hey, Yerk's got to go. Appreciate you guys for tuning in. Hit that like button. Subscribe to the page. What's your expectation for this week?
I got the Bears winning.
Bears win. Yeah.
They
in dominant fashion again, or a little bit closer.
The elements are going to be different, and I think the Bears' offense is going to run wild, and I don't anticipate more than 20 passes out of the Bears if there's 20-mile-an-hour winds out there.
I would expect.
Especially if it's crosswind. Crosswind's tough to throw in, and everything's going to be short passing game because you can't throw the ball downfield in that kind of wind.
So that's the logical answer. That means Luke Getsy's going to put it in the air 45 times. Hey, as always, hit that like button, subscribe to the page, leave a 5-star review. Y'all know what to do. Appreciate you guys for tuning in and showing love. For John Yurkovich, your boy Pat the Designer, back at it again. Y'all stay safe out there, Chicago. Peace.